Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Well, we're glad you've joined us. We hope and pray that you're being obedient to God and careful as each one of these messages are premiered. We hope and pray that you'll take it serious and you'll give your undivided attention as you listen to these and take heed to the Word of God. I had the privilege to visit with some this afternoon, and the message that aired this morning, we were talking about that, and we were just sharing what a joy it was to be able to experience the closeness of Mount Zion, just the glory of God in the heavenly perspective and all of those things that just fill our soul and strengthen us. But I have a thought tonight that I need to be obedient with and share with you. So if you will, take your Bibles and turn with us. As you pray, turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, we'll begin at verse number 11, and we're going to read down through verse number 24. Familiar scripture for Bible readers, the story of the lost son, the prodigal son. And so we're going to read that. But I have a thought tonight that God shared with me, and boy, it's blessed me all week long. It's just fed my soul, and I am so grateful for it, and certainly desire your prayers as we give it. So pray for us. Luke chapter number 15, beginning at verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, thank you for your word. We pray you'd open the book to us. And may we be open to the book. Forgive us where we failed. And may, Lord, with clarity of mind and speech, we be but messengers, Lord, usable. Arrest our thoughts, our spirit. Bind them to thy will and in every way. May you receive the glory, for you alone are worthy, for we ask it earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. The story of the prodigal son is one that certainly many have preached and is relevant regardless of the day or who is hearing it. But this time I'd like you to focus on something specific. We know the story, how the young man, in a rebellious condition, went to his father and asked for his living. And he asked for it in advance. And according to the scripture, the Father gave unto him, his living. We might call it inheritance, but by definition, that substance that he had requested was his living. And so it was given to him. And just a few days later, the young man took his living, his money, and he ran off into the city. And there he began to waste it, spending it on riotous living. You can fill in the blanks on what that means, but certainly he probably expended no pleasures at all. He enjoyed everything that his flesh wanted as he had money to buy it. But when the money ran out, we find that God sent a famine as well. Now, it wasn't bad enough that he ran out of money, but then God sent a famine. And let me be clear, I thank God for the famines. I thank God for the times when he speaks more clearly and when he begins to work in our soul in a special way. This young man had something that he had to learn. And if we took testimonies tonight, a great number would likely say, you know what, I've got a story about that too. I had my own thoughts and I wanted to live my own way and do my own thing. But there was a day that God brought me to a place where I come to myself and I realized that I was going the wrong way. Oh, thank God for the hard things that bring us to our knees. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that's able to strip from our eyes those blinders that keep us from seeing truth, and recognizing that we need God more desperately than breath itself. This young man had to get to that point. He had to get to that point that he recognized that he was a dead man if he didn't turn. He was lost without his father, and he needed him. He had to realize in his own heart some things. And oh, how I thank God for his patience as he teaches you and I some of these things as well. I want to say this as we begin tonight. You may be listening, and maybe for the first time you realize that you've gone the wrong way. I want you to know it's not too late. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. Thank God what you've done wasn't any worse than this young man. And I believe that's why Jesus was telling this story. It's because he knew that there'd be a lot of prodigals between the time then and when he finishes this thing up. He knew that there'd be a lot of folks that would take the wrong path. They'd live and follow their flesh and find out that there wasn't anything to it but vanity. They would live and find that nothing of this world can satisfy the soul. Oh, I thank God for the day that I came to myself and said, I'm going to follow you. Sink or swim, I'm not going back. Thank God for the day that I laid it all behind me and said, it's nothing but Jesus from here on out. But I had to learn that, you see, and so do you. We all have to learn that lesson. And I want to try to focus tonight specifically on what I think this young man learned. You'll find this. Let me get the verse. I can't see. You'll find this as he would have gladly eaten the husks that were being fed to the swine. And he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Here's what he said. He said, I will arise and go to my father's, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Listen to what he said. And no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now that's what he made up in his mind that he was going to say. You say, preacher, can you identify for me whether this young man was lost or saved. Well, I can only tell you that he was a young man that had a father. And he knew who his father was. And when he came to himself, his desire was to go back to his father and to say to his father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. May I say to you today, in the hardest part of this young man's life, he never lost sight of the fact that he was a child of the Father. May I say to you today that the born again will never find that place in their lives where they are unborn. There's no reversing that process. I thought of a story I heard years ago, and it's helped me to really grasp this simple truth. A father and his young son stood, and the young boy was playing in the gravels, and there was some windows nearby, and the father looked at him and he said, son, he said, put those gravels down. He said, if you throw them, he said, you might hit one of those windows and they'll break. And the little boy defied what his father had told him, and those gravels he had, he turned and he threw them, and one of those rocks went right through a window and broke it. I thought about how this was told when I heard it, and I want to try to tell it the same way. The question was asked, did the son do wrong? And the answer is yes. There's no question about it. The next question was asked was, well, who pays for the window? The little boy ain't got no money. Who paid for the window? The father. Was the young boy ever not a child of the father? Not one moment. Even when he had sinned. Aren't you glad that your salvation is not based upon your perfectness? Amen. Aren't you glad that your salvation is not based upon you always, every time, being perfect in every part? May I say to you today, the scripture has concluded that all are under sin. That we have all come short of the glory of God. I'm not making an excuse. I'm saying to you, the word of God teaches us we ought to be holy. But may I also say that the word teaches me I have come short. And I have missed the mark. And it'll all do us much better if we would simply be honest and say I've missed the mark. And be honest and say I failed in some way. I missed that mark today. Father, forgive me. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that our status as a child of God is not based upon our being perfect? It's based on Him being perfect. It's based on Him and the grace of God, the shed blood of Jesus Christ that covered my sin and cast them as far as the east is from the west. Thank God this young man had to learn a truth. He had to learn as he was in that awful place, perishing with hunger. Surely thought he was going to die of hunger as he began to make up his mind that he was going back home. I've heard bunches of messages about the importance of coming back home. That's what this story was all about, as this young man came to himself and he went back home. But I love what he said, and he's a whole lot like I am. Amen. There was voices in his head. He was talking to himself as he was recognizing that if he stayed on this path, he was a dead man. He wasn't going to make it. If he didn't turn and go back home, if he didn't turn and go back to what he knew was real, with Father's house, that he was going to miss out, that he surely would die. And as he come to that truth, and as he recognized through those hard circumstances that he needed his father more than he ever realized before, he also recognized that he had sinned against his father. And here's what he said. I want to focus on this particular verse, verse number 19. And he said, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I want to think about that part right there. This young man learned something out there in that hard place where there was no one to love him. Were there nothing but the enemy, and the enemy stripped him and robbed him of everything, every comfort, every goodness that he had once knew. He had found nothing but hardness in the world. May I say to you, there's some out there today that know just exactly what this is about. They know just exactly what it means to be in a hard place. They know what it feels like to have had it all and then to have wasted it on righteous living. They know what it feels like to receive the shame of having failed their father in such a way. They know what it feels like to know that in their heart that they rebelled against the very one that loved him. And they know what it's like, amen, to find themselves at that desperate place where they turn in their heart and their soul. And they make a decision with their own heart and mind that I am going back home. I'm going back home. I'm not worthy to be called his son, but I'm going to ask him if he'd just let me be one of his hired servants. I can't make it out here. Listen to me. Turn right now from whatever it is that binds you. Turn and come to God. Turn and find the grace that's there, the mercy for your soul. Your father is still waiting for you. Oh, you think today, in the shame of it, Let me get down to where the rubber meets the road here. Anybody ever felt shame besides me? Anybody ever felt just so broken? Because once again, I failed the Lord. There's times that we say to ourselves, how could God forgive me? How could he forgive me? Amen. How many of us have that very thing that convicted us, and we turn around a week later and we end up doing it again and we have to go back again? And how many of us have experienced the weight of that shame? This young man was starting to realize something. He knew that if he didn't go back home, he wasn't going to make it. But he also knew that he wasn't worthy of it.
That's right.
I tell you, there was a day, amen, that when that light begins to shine in your soul, and when it shined in mine, amen, there was a realization that I am not worthy of what Jesus has done for me. I'm not worthy. I've never been worthy. Amen. They want to preach it on the TV. Amen. That you've got this and you've got that and a right to this and all of these other things. Amen. I'm not negating the good things that God has promised me. But I'll tell you, I may be the heir to a throne, but bless God, I'm still not worthy of it. Still not worthy. Amen. Every time I look at the cross, I recognize that I'm a sinner saved by the marvelous grace of God. It was him that's worthy. It was him that delivered me. I'm not worthy. Oh, you say, preacher, if you keep that attitude, you'll be living a defeated lifestyle. You think so, do you? Let me share with you the scripture. The Bible tells us of a man who came out of the wilderness dressed in the camel's hair, yeah, eating locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist, when he showed up at the Jordan, he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John saw him one day as he was baptizing them in the Jordan. He looked up and he saw Jesus coming. Yeah, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And you know what he said? You say, who you talking about? I'm talking about John the Baptist. You say, who was he? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus thought of him. The Bible said, Jesus said, when it comes to John the Baptist, there ain't been a man greater born of woman than John the Baptist. That's how much the Lord thought of John. Amen. And yet here's John, and he said, he's coming. He said, I've got to decrease while he increases. Hey, he said he's the Lamb of God. He said his shoes. I ain't worthy to unlatch them. I ain't worthy to unlatch his shoes. I don't know about you. You can talk about having pride in the glory, but I want you to know I ain't got nothing but praise for the glory that come to me, for I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. This young man, when he went down into that city, had a pride that he didn't have when he came out of it. You see, when he had experienced the hard thing, as he had lost it all, when he left that place, he went back with humility, not pride. You see, he might have went into that city as an entitled young man, thinking to himself, I am a son of the Father. I am entitled to this. I have riches. I have a right. I have all of these things. But when he came out of that place, amen, all he wanted to do was say, I'm not anything. I'm not worthy, amen, to be your son. Just let me be a servant. I believe he's in good company. The scripture tells a story. Jesus himself spoke of this one as he was talking to them about how to pray. He said there was a Pharisee and there was a publican one day. And that old Pharisee dressed up in his religious clothing and in his high and mighty attitude began to thank God that he wasn't like other men, that he'd give all tithes of everything that he had, and that he really thanked God that he wasn't like that publican. And the scripture said that the old publican didn't even raise his head up. The old publican didn't even acknowledge that the man was saying anything. He didn't even raise his head up. The Bible said he just kept his head to the ground, smoting his breast. And he said, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Amen. Jesus said, which one of these went to his house justified? It wasn't the proud man. It wasn't the man that had or thought he had everything. It wasn't the man who spiritually, amen, thought he was above everybody else. No, it was the man that said, I ain't worthy if you'll just forgive me. And he pled and pled for the forgiveness of God. Jesus said, this man went to his house justified. Amen. Unworthy. You say, preacher, as we become children of God, do we not receive the promises of God and the inheritance of God? Yes, all of those things are true. But it doesn't change the fact that I feel unworthy of every last thing that he has given to me. You say, I'm not sure I understand. Well, let me just relate to you the story again. The young man, he got home. The Bible said his father seen him out there far off and come running, threw his arms around him, hugged him up, kissed his nasty face. The young man starts in the shame and disgust of his own sin and what he had done. Amen. It was all still present in his mind. His memory still fresh and open and wound and hurting from all of the things that he had gone through. And here was his father doing nothing but loving on him. He said, Father, please. He said, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what? The father didn't even respond to that. He just started calling his servants. He said, go get the robe. Go get a ring. Go get some shoes and put it on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Amen. We're fixing to make merry because my son that was lost is found. Here's what I want you to know. Whatever you feel, amen, that unworthy feeling, if it brings you to your knees, I want you to know that the Father loves you. And that is the place we need to be. We need to be in the place where we can truly lay ourselves before God, broken and contrite, and allow Him to restore our soul. Listen, the very minute that you allow yourself to become religious, and you allow that humbled feeling in your heart and love for Christ, that very thing that begins to bring, the enemy sows that seed, by the way. The enemy tries to get you to that place where you no longer care. Amen. Where you're in a condition that is indifferent to God. The enemy wants you to believe that. Amen. That you don't need anything. You're all right. You don't need. But may I say to you today, we need to feel unworthy, because that is accurate living. There will never be a day in my life that I'm worthy of what He has done for me. You see, what I find is in the scripture, what Jesus said is to he that is lifted up, He said he'll be abased. But He said to those that are low, He said they shall be lifted up. Big difference. You see, the contrast to the world, what they want you to think is all you got to do is roll in on Sunday with your suit and tie and give your offerings. Make a pledge of this or that and repeat after a person, sign a card, be baptized. Maybe all of these things are part of that religious process. And here's what I say. There's nothing wrong with a suit and tie. There's nothing wrong with giving you tithes. Nothing's wrong with being baptized. Obviously, all of these things are quite acceptable. Not a problem at all. But when it's in your heart, you got a problem. Yeah. Because here's what I can tell you. There's never been a day that you've been worthy to be a child of God. Not one. Not one. See, the problem was this young man went down into the city saying, look who I am. Look who I am. But when he come out of the city, he said, I ain't worthy to be who I am. Right? He knew who his father was. Now, not one time did he deny that he had a father. He knew. But oh, when he come out of that city, all he could think of was, I ain't worthy of the Father. I ain't worthy of His goodness. I ain't worthy of it. You know what he knew, Sam? He knew that he had let him back home. See, how did he know that? Because he knew his dad. He knew his father. I'm so ashamed to come back to God. There's some of you out there right now, and you're letting that keep you from coming home. You're so ashamed of what you've done. You're so ashamed of where you've been. You're so ashamed of how it's just destroyed your testimony and your heart for God. But may I say to you today, if you feel like you're unworthy, you're on the right track. Amen. You will find that there is grace for those who have found themselves low. When you realize that it ain't about you, but it's about Him. When you realize that it's all about the mercies of God and His love for you and me. When you realize that He is worthy and you are not, you're on the right track. You're getting close to the heart that will find peace again with God. We find another scripture in the book of Luke, I believe it is. The Bible said that a Pharisee in that city had asked Jesus to join him for a meal at his house. And according to the scripture, the Bible said that there was a woman in that city which was a sinner. A sinner. And the Bible said that when she heard that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, that she went to the house with an alabaster box of ointment. She went to the house. When she came in the door. Now she was doing something culturally unacceptable. You didn't walk in a room with a bunch of men. Yeah. But may I say to you today, she cared nothing for the culture at that moment. You know who she is looking for? The one that was worthy. All she knew was that He had saved her. She came in there. She didn't announce herself, didn't say a thing. The Bible said she came in behind Jesus. and set into weeping. Let me ask you a question. You think she was feeling real worthy? No, she set into weeping. I ain't talking about a tear or two. The Bible described it that she washed his feet. Washed his feet with the tears that were flowing from her eyes. She wasn't worthy to be in front. She stood behind him there as she washed his feet with her tears. She took her hair and she let that out from under that covering. And she just began to wash and wash and clean. She loved him. Amen. Because she knew she wasn't worthy. He was worthy. I believe she is about to find the heart of the Baptist, wasn't she? The heart of John the Baptist, who said, I ain't worthy to unlatch his shoes. I ain't worthy. No, he must increase while I decrease. The Bible said, having washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, she took that ointment and she poured it on him. One other place in the gospel says it like this, that she broke the box. You know what I get from that? She wasn't taking no ointment home. She broke that box and she poured every bit of it. You talking about a smell filling up that house. Amen. There's probably like this. Amen. Though it was a fragrance that was probably sweet. It was so powerful. Amen. It was so great. Amen. But she poured it all onto the head of Jesus. And as it ran down, amen, there was an odor going up unto God. Amen. God the Father was seeing what was going on. Amen. I want you to know that all of that began from a woman who recognized she was unworthy. You know what's wrong with some of our worship services today? Yeah, people think they're worthy to be there. Yeah, what we ought to do is recognize that we ain't worthy, amen, not to be even in his presence. We ain't worthy not to be allowed to sit among the righteous, amen. We ain't worthy, amen, to experience God in any way, and yet the Father hath killed the fatted calf. Killed it for me so that I could live, I could go free. The Father did that. I ain't worthy. No, I'm not worthy. I want you to take something in particular that the young man said about his worthiness. He said, I'm no longer worthy. I'm no more worthy is what he said. What it meant was, is he's no longer worthy. He'd come to that conclusion, and the conclusion was accurate. He was not worthy. But let me be clear about something. He wasn't worthy before he went to the city. He wasn't worthy when he went down. When he came back, he certainly was broken. When he came back, he certainly had been humbled for the very depth of his soul. When he came back, he had certainly found himself different than when he had went down. But may I say to you today, he wasn't worthy when he left home. No more worthy than when he came back. Aren't you glad that salvation's not based upon our worthiness? Aren't you glad that being born again is not based upon how we perform? Now, don't get me wrong. There's reward for doing it right. In obedience, we're blessed according to the scripture. In disobedience, we're chastened. And I believe that's a truth. And I thank God for that one. But may I be clear to you today? There ain't one of you worthy. Not of Christ. Not of Christ. You may be the best among us. I'll give you that. Amen. Because I don't even claim to be in that part. You know what I find? I find that the people of God were constantly saying things like that. The Apostle Paul. If there's a hero, and that's mine right there. I love to read the Apostle Paul. And he said this. He said, this is a worthy saying. Worthy of acceptation. that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am chief. I don't know where that leaves you. Bless God, I feel like I'm in the company of good folk. Because that's how I feel. I'm not worthy of the blood that was shed for my sin. I'm not worthy for the suffering that he endured to make me free. I'm not worthy. Not of one stripe that he took upon himself. I am not worthy. It's not that I'm no longer worthy. I've never been worthy. I think about the Gentile race in particular. According to the scripture, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans elaborates quite carefully, amen, that we were grafted in.
That's right.
The Gentile, God said he put a spirit of slumber upon the Jew that we might be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that he made a way for those, he said, that once were alienated from God in the commonwealth of Israel. Dogs, being without anything, any God in this world. Amen. Spiritually bankrupt. No, we've never been worthy. Never been worthy. But here we find that salvation was never based upon worthiness. If it was based upon worthiness, then I would not have been invited. And yet Romans 5 and 8 said, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, being born again wasn't based upon my being worthy of the gift. Had it been, there's not a person in this room that would have received it, because we're unworthy of the gift. And yet Jesus had freely given me that gift, the precious gift of salvation. Worthy? No. No, not worthy. In my heart has been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that is perfect. Make no mistake. What the prophet said was, is that it made us white as snow. Perfect. Inside. But that ain't even mine. He gave me his. I'm not worthy. Not of one thing that he did to save this world. I am not worthy. And that does not make me defeated. No. That makes me the winner. You say, how so? Well, when Jesus was in the house with Simon the Pharisee and the woman that had washed his feet and anointed him with the ointment, the Pharisee looked at that woman and he thought to himself, he said, if this man was really a man of God, he'd know what kind of woman was before him. Jesus, knowing what the Pharisee said, he said, Simon, he said, I've got something to say to you. He said, say on. And he told him a story. He said there were two debtors that owed the same man some money. One owed 500 pence and the other owed 50. And he said, turns out neither one of them could pay. Not a cent. Neither one of them could pay. And yet he said, the king frankly forgave them both of their debts. And he asked Simon a question. He said, which do you think would love him more? He said, well, I suppose it'd be the one that owed him the most. He said, you've rightly said. He said, Simon, since I come into your house, he said, you gave me no water to wash my feet. He said, but this woman, she's not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and to dry them with the hair of her head. When I came in, you gave me no kiss. That was customary. When I came in, you gave me no kiss. He said, but since this woman came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You gave me no oil to anoint my head, but this woman has anointed my feet. And she has anointed me with this ointment. You see, the problem with some Christians today is that they think they're worth it. Your worship will never be holy until you sing it from a heart that recognizes you weren't worth the gift. You weren't worth it. I realize that in the day we live, it seems a lot of folks want to trend the line that the best way to help people is pat them on the back and tell them how great they are. But you see, scripturally, that'd be a falsehood. I might as well just push you right off into the pit. Because the truth is if you never see yourself undone without God, you'll never be lost. And if you're never lost, you'll never get saved. You're not ever going to be worthy of Christ. But thank God, salvation is not based on worthiness. You see, according to the Scripture, and I'll close with this. According to the Scripture, it's all about grace. We find in the book of John, chapter number 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You see, I'm not denying that I'm an heir to God and a joint heir with Christ. No, I glory in this truth. But I do so not from an air of importance of myself, but having been the recipient of such a gift. And therefore it brings us to a place that our praise is not based upon us, but Him. He alone is worthy. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, given, freely given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. He says in John chapter number 1, verse number 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave. Gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Son that left the Father that day was no more. He had nothing to do with having been born to that man. All of us have parents. We had nothing to do with that business. I'm no more worthy to be called the son of JT and Alberta Boring. I didn't have anything to do with it. He said, Father, I'm not worthy. John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy. The woman that just washed His feet was saying, I ain't worthy. The old publican was saying, I ain't worthy. And you know what happened to all of them? They found peace with God. Because the only one truly worthy is Christ. And He did all that He did to save you. Not because you're worthy, but because He loves you. So it comes down to this. Salvation's not based upon me being worthy. Let me see if I can sum it up just like this. Just as I am without. flee. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as, listen, I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, sin, really. Why? Because I'm worthy? No. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. When I came to him that night, I had nothing to offer. No price could I bring. Simply to the cross I clinged. I'm not worthy of Christ. I am not worthy. And I want to spend all of my days, not necessarily as the Son that I am, but as his servant. Because he is worthy. I don't know your heart tonight. Today, as you listen to this truth, Jesus did all that he did, not because you're worthy of it, not because you're good, not because of anything that you have to offer. Jesus did all that he did simply because he loves you. And just as you are, he wants to change you right now. If you're lost and need to be saved, pray that simple prayer. Confess in your heart the Lord Jesus. Believe it. Confess it. Ask him to come in. It's as simple as receiving the gift of salvation. You know your condition. You know where you stand. And may the news of this truth, may it encourage your soul tonight. But if you're lost, oh, if you're not right with God, hear me. Make preparation. Repent. Turn. Go back home. We're not worthy of it. No. But he loves us just as we are. Would you bow with us as we dismiss? Father, thank you for a plan of salvation that was not based upon my worthiness. It wasn't based upon my goodness or ability. It wasn't based on my status or rank wealth or power. No. It's as simple as believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for the truth that the Holy Spirit is able to bring our heart to the condition of conviction that brings us to that place that we simply know without you, we are lost. We come not worthy, and we lift up the one that is. And we thank you for the robe. We thank you for the shoes. We thank you for the ring. We thank you for the fatted calf. You have been so gracious and kind, and we are not worthy. We praise your holy name. May Christ be honored and exalted in all of this as we ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen.